Nine times out of ten, the sermon about today's gospel of the Good Samaritan goes something like this. Recognize your neighbor in everyone. Don't be like the priest and the Levite who passed by someone in need of assistance. Everyone who stops and helps to alleviate the suffering of another person is a good Samaritan. Now, for the record, I would like to say that these are excellent sermons. We always need to be reminded to help our neighbor and to practice the corporal works of mercy, especially toward our brothers and sisters who are poor and most rejected. How we live the gospel each week is called the moral lesson of the gospel. But did you know that according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraphs 115 to 119, there are two senses of sacred scripture, the literal and the spiritual. The literal sense of sacred scripture is the meaning that the inspired author intended to convey. The spiritual sense is subdivided into three senses, the allegorical, the moral, and the anagogical. The allegorical meaning is how the passage relates to Jesus. What does this story tell us about Jesus? The moral sense is how we're to act. It's probably the most obvious, right? And the anagogical sense, from the Greek anagoge, meaning leading, how does the passage lead us toward heaven? The anagogical sense is about our destiny, our final end and goal of heaven. Today, I thought we'd do something different. I want to take a look at the allegorical meaning of the story of the Good Samaritan. The allegorical meaning. Every part of the story is symbolic. So we're just going to walk through it. The man who fell victim to robbers is each one of us. Have you ever thought of that? I am the man lying half dead by the side of the road. We go down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is 2,575 feet above sea level, and Jericho is 848 feet below sea level. That's over a 3,000-foot drop. Jerusalem in the Bible represents the glory of heaven. And so we go down from our glory as beloved sons and daughters of the Father. We go down deep, deep, deep into the pit of the world in this veil of tears. The robbers are plural, robbers, because we have more than one enemy. The robbers represent the three enemies of the soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. By leading us into sin, Satan beats us up. He strips us of our beautiful, white, immaculate, unstained baptismal robe, and he leaves us half dead by the side of the road. Half dead because although our bodies are alive, our souls are dead. First, with original sin, then perhaps later, in mortal sin. In our sinful state of being half dead because of original sin and mortal sin, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We cannot help ourselves by our own smashing good looks, by our hard work, by our brilliant intelligence. The man lying half dead by the side of the road cannot save himself. And neither can the priest and the Levite. The priest and the Levite walk by us, not because they do not want to help us, but because they cannot help us. The fathers of the church have always taught that the priest and the Levite represent the old covenant and its inability to restore man to new life. That's why they pass by on the opposite side, the side of the Old Testament, you see. The priest represents all the Old Testament sacrifices. That's what a priest does. He offers sacrifice. And the Levite represents the Old Testament law. All the Old Testament sacrifices will not save us from sin. Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Following all the laws of the Old Testament will not save us. St. Paul testified that he got an A+ in following the Old Testament law. He followed it perfectly, without no mistakes. But it didn't save him. Father Ronald Knox, who came into the Roman Catholic Church in 1917 from the Church of England, writes, "For centuries, the sacrifices of the Old Covenant have continued. The blood of bulls and calves and rams have been shed at the brazen altar. The doorposts and vessels of the sanctuary have been sprinkled with it, but in vain, because human nature still lies by the side of the road, hurt to the death and powerless to achieve its own recovery. No priest, no Levite can help." Who can help us? Who can save us? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is Jesus Christ himself, who comes to rescue us from sin and Satan, death and devil. He crosses over from the side of the Old Testament to the side of the New Testament. Look at what Jesus, the Good Samaritan, does for us. When he sees me, when he sees us half dead by the side of the road because of our sins, our Lord is moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion at the sight of our woundedness, our brokenness, our nakedness, our sinfulness. He's moved to compassion. He approaches us. So close he approaches us. He takes on our own human nature. He pours in oil and wine. What should that remind you of? The sacraments. For 4 of the 7 sacraments use oil, and wine we use to change into the Lord's blood. We especially think of the oil of the sick here. The Good Samaritan, who is Jesus, pours in the oil and wine of the sacraments. He pours in the oil of his divine mercy, the wine of his most precious blood, and then in our nakedness, he clothes us with that white baptismal garment that was stripped from us. And he lifts us up on his own animal, his own shoulders. And Jesus, our Good Samaritan, takes us to an inn. An inn. The inn is the Roman Catholic Church, who will take care of us until Jesus, the Good Samaritan, comes back at the end of the world, or probably what will happen first at the end of our own individual lives. Once again, the preaching of Father Ronald Knox, the church is the inn along the road of life. And 3 things we look for in the inn, he says: refreshment, good company, and repose. We find the refreshment, the nourishment in this inn of the church as we feed on his body and blood. We find great company in our fellow pilgrims on the journey. We find rest from our sins and can breathe freely once more. The innkeeper, of course, stands for St. Peter and his successors. There's been 266 successors, right? All the way up to Pope Leo XIV. And the Good Samaritan leaves the Pope and all bishops, priests, and deacons in union with him everything that they need to care for us until Jesus comes again at the end of the world or our own personal life. Isn't this a beautiful way to read the story of the Good Samaritan? Perhaps you've never thought of this in your life. So many people after the last Mass said they had never, ever thought of this. As many times as we've heard this story, they never thought of the allegorical sense of the parable. I didn't make this up. All the fathers of the church, St. Augustine, St. Jerome, St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory the Great, all the fathers of the church saw this allegorical meaning to the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, the story of the Good Samaritan is first and foremost autobiographical. Jesus is telling us a story about himself. Jesus is the Good Samaritan who finds us stripped and beaten and wounded and half dead by the side of the road. Jesus is the only one who can save us through the oil and wine of the sacraments that he entrusts to the inn of the church, where we find nourishment with his body and blood in the blessed communion of fellow pilgrims until he returns. And he will return. This is our story. And if our Lord and Savior, the Good Samaritan, has done all of this for us, if our Lord and Savior, the Good Samaritan, has treated us with such mercy and compassion, now it makes sense that, fortified by his grace, we can now go and do the same. Amen.